Fear doesn't stand a chance. How many knows that to be true? How many has actually found out in the middle of life's whatever's going on that fear doesn't stand a chance? But what you have to do, though, you have to go into his presence because fear can eat us up. Amen. It's good to see all of you today. Several have asked me how I'm feeling. I'm feeling with my fingers. You know, this morning, the first service, I stripped some gears and I couldn't hardly finish. So I've got some of these. Hand me another one of those little thingies. I heard this story about this guy that was getting ready to preach. And his wife was always mending his garments. And he reached in. He would preach about the length of a lifesaver. And he reached in and actually grabbed a button. I'll promise you this morning, I don't have a button. We're going to be just talking this morning about lessons learned from the book of Ruth. And so for the next 3-4 weeks, we're also going to be talking a little bit about love. Maybe in the count of three, we can say love. 1, 2, 3. Love. Talk about love, talking a little bit about marriage and relationships, life. How many of those, there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, Like Marshall said earlier, we had Sister Bebout's service yesterday, and they had pastored out of Derby Acres for 20 years. That's a long time. So I was at the funeral. I found out they've been pastoring for 25 years, so all but 5 years of their ministry was spent out at Derby. And so it's really nice that you guys spend time and just, in fact, let's do that right now. Let's just pray for the church. Lord God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray for Derby. We ask you, God, just to lift them up, Lord God. I know that they have a lot of loss today. And for some of those people, it's the only pastor they've ever known for 20 years. So God, we just ask that you just bless them, that you lift them up, you wrap your arms of love around them. And everybody said, amen. So as we're talking about these different things, you know, let me just say this. Raise your hand if you're married. Raise your hand if you want to get married. Raise your hand if you want to get out of it. No. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, my mind works different. And I thought it'd be really cool to do a marriage retreat and have one of those big bounce houses, have those big boxing gloves. I don't know if you remember, we did that one year, and Kyle and Nicole were just going. I don't know if you guys saw that. How many members that? Kyle and Nicole were going at it. I just thought, man, we not need to have that again. But I do want to say that as we're talking, as we're communicating and connecting, God is into marriage. I know we live in a day and time where a lot of people don't want to get married, but God wants to bless the marriage. God has called man and wife, right? Husband and wife for marriage. And God blessed that sanction and said, you know, when he first made Adam and put Adam on earth and there's no one else, he said, this ain't good. And then he made, whoa, man. Man said, whoa, whoa, man. Bless them, right? Marriage is, a friend of mine used to always say, marriage is an institution. Then he'd say, which I joined. Anyway, I got something I want to read to you, and then we're going to get on with the message. One bright, beautiful sunny morning, everyone in tiny Gettysburg wakes up early and goes to their local church. Before the service starts, the townspeople sit in the pews, and they talk about their lives and all their families. Suddenly at the altar, Satan appears. Everyone starts screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in their determined efforts to get away from the evil incarnate. Soon, everyone is evacuated from the church except for one man who sat calmly in his pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy is in his presence. This confuses Satan just a little bit. Satan walks up to the man and says, hey, don't you know who I am? The man says, yep, sure do. Satan, disturbed, says, why aren't you afraid of me? The man says, I've been married to your sister for the last 25 years. It could be either way, you know. You know, I told you what brother Billy used to always say, and I've said this so many times. In fact, I told Kenny and Unique this morning, they just married a little over a year. I said, you know what they say is the first year you could eat each other up, the second year you wish you would have. Yeah. But on a serious note, marriage is work. But marriage is worth the work. It really is. You know, I know I kid around a little bit. And the reason I do, because, you know, I've learned a long time ago that sometimes a little sugar makes the medicine go down a little easier. But in sitting inside our pews, sometimes we come and we have people that's hurting so much. People need hope. They need hope. Sometimes people come and marriage is so broken up that there's like, man, I don't think there's any possible way. But I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. This is for free. I didn't share this with the first service. Years ago, I was a gentleman came to my office. And he said, he was one of my deacons, and he said, me and my wife, we're going to get a divorce. Nothing you can say will change my mind. She said, I don't plan on saying nothing. I said, I'm just going to pray and fast for you. He says, it ain't going to work. 3 months later, he come back into my office, said, something worked. He says, we're getting back together again. God has a way when there seems to be no way. And folks, listen, I understand and I get it. There's sometimes things are fractured so badly. And I get that, and you divorce. But if you've been divorced, you know what? That's still going to be the past. And we're going to move into the future. And if we'll hang out with God, he's got an amazing future. How many believes that God has an amazing future for you? I want to tell you, he does. He's a great God. So this story this morning, it's pretty amazing. So we're going to start off in Ruth 1 and 2. It says, it'll be on the screen. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. Now, we're talking about the Holy Land, the blessed land. Years ago, we moved back to the Holy Land, to Arkansas. And then we came back to the Holy Land, Taft. How many knows, wherever you live, it can be the Holy Land. The beauty of the place, I mean, Arkansas was beautiful. Taft is beautiful.
Because I'm here.
No, but you know what, really, though, a place is what you make of it. I get tickled. I hear so many young people say, I can't wait to get out of Taft 10 years later. I can't wait to come back to Taft. Where your home is. Anyway, I'll get into some more of that a little bit later. So let's read this, the next verse. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. So they're in the promised land. There is a famine, and so now they're going to go to Moab. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Because there was famine in the land, they wanted to go someplace where there wasn't famine. So they went to Moab. Now, one thing I think is important for us to get is life happens to everybody. How many's ever looked at somebody and thought, they never have troubles? Let's be honest. Raise your hand. Real high. Raise your hand really high because I want everybody to see. Everybody raise your hand. All five of us. Okay. Life happens to people. It doesn't matter. I've looked at people before. Man, they just got it made. I didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. Everybody, life happens to everybody. And we can look at somebody and say, I want a marriage just like so-and-so. Don't wish that. You might get one like it. Let me share one other quick thing. A friend of mine that was my mentor. I do marriage help. I don't want to call it counseling because we really, really can't call it that. But I do marriage help if someone's in trouble. But I don't do every evening. Let me explain something. Years ago, a guy that was mentoring me, this lady called him and says, we need to do counseling. We need to do it in the evenings. He said, I don't have any evenings available. And she was on. She said, you're a pastor. Why can't you do the evenings? And finally just looked at her and says, how is your marriage? She said, it's a wreck. He says, yeah, if I use all my evenings, my marriage will be just like yours. So we have to use wisdom because, I mean, we can get, when I first got here, we was doing marriage counseling all the time. And a week of just evenings of everybody having problems. You want to go home and kiss your wife. I had a couple in my office one time. I really thought they were going to blows. This one gal, I couldn't believe it. We're in there and we're talking for quite a bit. And like I said before, I know that things happen in marriage and I know things are rough at times. And this lady and her husband were just fighting back and forth and going. And finally, I just looked. I said, why are you guys even here? And this is what she told me. She says, just so we can tell everybody else that we tried. You know what I told them? I said, get out of my office. I'm not doing this no more. I can't spend my evenings helping someone that just wants to have an excuse to tell everybody when everybody says, what happened? Okay, sorry about that. That was kind of a downer. So check this out. So the drought caused Naomi to move from her homeland. That's a homeland. You know, Israelites still today are tracking to the promised land because they all want to live in Israel. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Out of the house of bread came the bread of life. You know, this is an amazing place. And so they're leaving Bethlehem and going into Moab. As soon as they get to Moab, you know, because I said life happens, her husband passed away. Her two sons found wives, Ruth and Orpah. Can you imagine your mama naming you Orpah? Kind of sounds to me like a well, you know? Orpah! There's a lot in a name, right? How many knows you want to name your kid something great? You know, not, hey, stupid, because if you call them stupid, they'll turn out to be stupid. But if you call them, hey, you know, my kids, all the time, we let them know they can become anything they want to become, unless it costs a whole lot of money. No, I'm just kidding. But we do. We always tell them that. We want to speak into them life. In the tongue, there's power of life and death. So we have to make sure that we're speaking life, right? So this is also a story about life loss and also about love. On the count of three, we're all going to say this word called hesed. One, two, three. Jordan, tell me hesed.
Just like you did. Hesed.
He did that in the first service. He did it really loud. Hesed. I thought, oh, yeah, that's good. So here's a story about life loss and this hesed love. Now, the word kindness in the Hebrew word hesed. It's an important word in the book of Ruth and throughout the Old Testament. It speaks of God's covenant loyalty. It's a covenant loyalty. When me and Cheryl got married, we made a covenant with each other. And we made this covenant, and we said this, that we're never going to say the D word. Can't say dang. We just promised you that we're not going to use that diverse word. We just said we're not going to use the divorce. There's sometimes that she wanted to divorce me. There's sometimes she wanted to cut my head off. You know what also I say? I say this all the time. No man has ever been shot while doing dishes. She waits till later. But we got to get this thing, though. This kindness, this has said, this covenant love. In America, we have one name for love. What is it? Love. That's deep. But we love our cars. We love our cats. We love our dogs. We love our spouses. It's a good time for you to say yes. We love our cars. But we use that same word everywhere. But you go to the Greek and Hebrew, man, there's all kinds of words that mean love. There's the agape, like that God had for us, that no matter what we did, God loves us. And then there's hesed, that covenant, faithfulness, love. And I'm glad for hesed. If it wasn't for hesed, Cheryl left me a long time ago. But it's that covenant, it's that love that says no matter what happens. And then we see that in this story with Ruth and Naomi, his mother-in-law. See, one other thing about real quick that I want to share with you, hesed is not fair. It's not fair when you've been married to someone for a while and all of a sudden they just don't show up no more. It's not fair. And it hurts. And it's a horrible thing. Hesed's not fair. It wasn't fair when Jesus went to the cross and died for us. God, the second in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, comes down to earth and dies for mankind. That wasn't fair. It wasn't fair when Joseph's brother sold him off into slavery to Egypt. But God had a plan. It wasn't fair when David's anointed king, and then the king, Saul's trying to kill him over and over and over. It's not fair. But God how to plan. Maybe you're here today in the middle of life, and maybe you're thinking life stinks. God's got a plan. God still has a plan. It ain't over until it's over, right? God has a plan. This amazing God that we love. And so this thing about fair, I want to say this about fairness before we move on any further. In the kingdom of God, everything is not always fair. Years ago when I worked for mobile, we always went on seniority. How many remembers those years ago? If you had seniority, you got this job. And then just about the time I got a little seniority, they changed it. So then it was, you know, they worked it differently. But in God's kingdom, it's not always fair. You might think, well, I'm the next person in line for that job, and then God does something different because he's God. He calls. And just because someone has a calling on their life, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. When we went back to Arkansas, we had a calling for ministry, and we really felt at the time we could have stayed or went, but we chose to go to Arkansas. So we got back to Arkansas, and about 5 years in, we were there 11 years, from 1994 to 2005, about 5 years in, Cheryl got homesick. She was crying all the time, just wanted, I mean, she just physically was upset because she wanted to come home. We do a family dinner with our family every Sunday. Our family's tight. We laugh about everything. Laughter does good, like we got lots of medicine. We do. We laugh about a lot of things. We laugh about funny things. If I say something wrong for the pulpit, they laugh about it. Notice how I said that? They laugh about it. But really, we just got to get this. It's not always fair. But when you hang out with God, even when things aren't fair, God makes it right. And his right sometimes is different than what we think right is. Amen? So the second thing is loss. Now, her two sons found wives, Ruth and Orpah, and for 10 years they're married. But after 10 years, the two gals die. I mean, the two boys die. Before long, I'll have Noah on the ark. I mean, Moses on the ark. Yeah. Mahlon and Chilion die. So here's Naomi. Her husband died. She left her homeland that she loved. And now in the foreign land, her two sons die. How many knows that would be tough? That would just be difficult. You've lost everybody. It's you know what? When someone loses a child or partner, that is difficult. And anytime we hear that, and that's what I love about the food thing, like Marshall said earlier, when we do a funeral dinner, you don't know how much people come up and say thank you so much, because it's such a nice thing just in the middle of their grieving just to know that somebody cares. Amen? It's a big thing. So anyway, so this whole thing is everyone starts dying, and it's all about loss. The other word this big is the word return. This whole book is about return. Noah left. Naomi left. But now she is returning. Return is the word of repentance. Folks, listen for a minute. The only way any of us get to heaven is by asking Christ into our life. We repent of our sins. And we ask, there's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven unless it's through the door, Christ Jesus. So we're going one way, we repent, and that means turn around and go the opposite direction. And so this story is a story of return. So here's Naomi, and she's returning back to the promised land, back to Bethlehem. I love this about this story. In fact, read this in Ruth 1:8. It's going to be up on the screen. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, and she loved her daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. Naomi just knew that the prospects were going to be kind of slim in the Holy Land for these Moabite girls, right? Now, we've heard the saying over and over again that talk is cheap. But Ruth did something different. Let me read this for you. Ruth 1:14 to 15. And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Let's read this together. Wherever you go, I think it's the next one. Zach. But Ruth replied, no, I will go wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. See, this is said love. Ruth is saying, I'm going to stick with you no matter what. I'm hanging out with my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law, especially right after service. She cooks a mean meal. But she said that it's a hesed love. It's that covenant. She's making a covenant. You know, when we got married, this verse here, Ruth 1, 16, we have that engraved in our wedding bands. I forgot it was there. I haven't seen it in a long time. I can't get the ring off anymore. My fingers just gotten a little bit bigger. Fat fingers. Cheryl can take hers off anytime she won't. But it's that covenant love. So she left full, going to Moab. And she's coming back, and she's coming back with nothing. She says this, verse 20. It's going to be on the screen. Don't call me Naomi. Now, Naomi meant pleasant. How many would like to have a name that meant pleasant? Or like awesome. Yeah, he's really cool. Nobody? So she goes out, and her name is Naomi, pleasant. So look at this. Don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter. So Mara meant bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? Wow. See, it's life, it's loss, and it's love. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this next part. Throw up the next scripture, and you can leave it up there for a minute, and I'll just talk about it for a minute. Ruth gets back, or Ruth actually gets to the Holy Land, and she decided to go to work. She's a single lady looking for a man. How many women's looking for a man? How many men are looking for a woman? How many's wanting to get rid of the one you got? No, just kidding. Don't raise it. You did good. No one raised their hand. So she goes back, and she goes out in the field, and she goes to work. Listen, ladies, if you're looking for a man and you're single, she goes to work. She goes out and work in the fields. How many knows working in the fields is hard work? We had a young girl in the youth group last year. She was working out in the fields. And she told me one day, she says, that's hard work. I said, I admire you. That's really hard. She's out in the field working. She's getting all kinds of dirty. She's not looking for a man, but God had a Boaz for her. God's got someone already lined up. That's the God that we serve. Let's read this together. Now there was a, not only is he a man, he's what? And influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. Elimelech, Elimelech, Elimelech. In the, oh. Kinsman, redeemer. You know, it's hard to preach when your mind sees a shiny thing. But see, God had love stored for Ruth. She lost her husband. Naomi lost her husband first and loses her sons. Ruth loses her husband. But through Ruth, she goes out and work in the field. And God had already created someone to go looking for her. A rich somebody. Right? And goes out, and she goes out in the field, and she just goes to work. Now let me tell you what happens. Naomi gets a grandchild out of this. The grandchild is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Guess who my grandbaby is? You know, hey. This is the lineage of Christ. Worship team, come back up here. You know, I said earlier that part of the story is a story of return. Naomi's going one direction. She stops, turns around, and she goes back to the Holy Land. Now, I know for some of us here, I know there's a lot that have lost spouses or have lost children, and I know that is difficult. And it's hard. But this story, and it's just like the story of the Bible, There's still more chapters to write. It ain't over. It's not over. God still got more for us. I love in the 23rd Psalms is the psalmist David is penning that towards the end of us. He's talking about God's, surely his goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's mercy, his love will chase you down and he'll find you someone that has the chesed love, right? It's not a shallow love. It's a covenant love. Find you someone that's got some dinero. Yoo-hoo! But you don't have to go out and looking. You just hang faithful and stay faithful to God. You know, as I was doing this message, I almost went a completely different direction earlier in the week. And I want to read this real fast. Scripture in the Bible talks about God's mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. But there's some times that when we're traveling this direction to get the new mercies, we got to say, okay, I've got to turn around and I got to start heading back towards God's mercies. This bottle of water tastes really good. If you leave this bottle of water setting out for a long time, after a while, this bottle of water will start looking a little bit nasty inside. Right? But see, here's the thing with God. When I first got saved, I went to the fountain and got filled up with God's new love. See, his mercies are new every day. He is the fountain head. So we go back to Christ. We go back to his newness, the new joys, the making everything fresh all over again. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, man, I just need the freshness in my life, and I don't know where to go. Go to the fountainhead. Amen? With every head bowed, you guys go ahead and sing a little bit of that song. Just hang loose for a minute. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Maybe this morning you're thinking, you know, I need to go to the fountain. I need a refreshing of God. No matter what it is, whether it's just life, whether it's been loss, or whether it's, you know, new love. I just want to open the front up. I just want to pray for you guys. I want to pray that God just begins to restore what the enemy's taken. So if you want prayer, just get out of your seat. Come on down. It's okay. Just going to tarry just for a minute. God, just restore. Store the years. The cankerworm's taken. God, restore the health. We give you praise, God. We give you thanks and glory and honor, God. If you want prayer, we're just going to pray with you this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get some guys down here if you guys don't mind. Come on down, Mary. Let's get some ladies behind Mary to pray with Mary. You know what? If you're here this morning and you need prayer, feel free at any time to come down. If you want to come down and pray for others, that's okay. Yes, I will. Yeah, my days. Yes, I will. All my days. Yes, I will. Amen. Guys, I just want to pray one more thing before we leave this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ. So I want to pray this prayer. Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross just for me. God, I accept your grace and your mercy. God, forgive me for my sin. Help me to follow you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Bless you guys. Love you. Have a great, great day. Bye.